Lake Effect returns on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. In nautical lore, the Flying Dutchman is a ghost ship doomed to sail the oceans, its crew having committed some heinous crime or contracted some awful disease. From the mid-17th century on, sailors have claimed sightings of the ghost ship, often before a storm at sea. Seeing the apparition is considered the worst of all possible omens. Richard Wagner's setting of the tale in his 1843 opera of the same name is one of the composer's earliest. It does allow one small difference in the plot in that once every 7 years, the Flying Dutchman can come into port and its ghostly captain can become human for a short time. If while human he finds and secures a woman's true love, the curse is broken. The Flying Dutchman opens the Florentine Opera's season this Friday evening. It's a new production conducted by Maestro Joseph Rossigno and directed by Paula Swazi. Rossigno, along with cast members Jenny Bank, David Danholt, Peter Volpe, and Wayne Tigges, joined me in the studio Monday morning just ahead of the first technical rehearsal. Everyone, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Most welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Let us go around, and if you would introduce yourselves and say what you're doing with the Flying Dutchman, that would be great.
My name is David Danholt, and I'm a born and raised Dane, tenor doing Eric in the Flying Dutchman, who is the guy who is not going to have or get center.
Not going to get the girl.
Yeah, I'm not going to get the girl at all. No.
My name is Joseph Rossigno, and I'm conducting the performance.
I'm Peter Volpe. I will be singing the role of Daland in The Flying Dutchman.
My name is Jenny Bank, and I'll be singing the role of Mari in Flying Dutchman.
My name is Wayne Tigges, and I'll be singing the role of the Dutchman in The Flying Dutchman.
Who does get the girl?
Kind of.
One of the things that I think a lot of people in the audience might think about when they hear Wagner is think, oh my gosh, this is going to take hours and hours and hours, and it's one of those things. But this is an early piece of Wagner, and it is something actually I think quite short for him. What is it about this piece? Does this set up Wagner for his future work? Is this one of the things where we first get to know him as an opera composer? And Meister, I'll start with you.
Yes, this is compared to, say, Rienzi or Liebesverbot, I think it was also earlier Wagner piece. Compared to those operas, this is the first opera that is performed in Bayreuth of Wagner's. It is certainly reminiscent of the music of Carl Maria von Weber, but already there are a couple of things that were kind of trademarks of Wagner that we hear, and that is the use of musical motifs, not so much as the way, say, someone like Puccini used them, but clearer, that we hear the Dutchman's motif and we hear the motif of redemption. Also, there are certain parts of the opera that are very forward-looking for the time it was written. It's a marvelous opera. It is of the frequently performed Wagner operas. It's by far the most Italianate. For example, the aria in the third act of Eric to me sounds not dissimilar to Bellini. The slightly more robust Bellini of the like say Pollione in Norma,
Don't think of Wagner in Bel Canto. And do you approach it that way, David?
I have to.
Yeah,
I have to. Otherwise, I won't get through it. Maestro is right. No. It's written like that. It's pure. It's a genuine Bel Canto aria, absolutely, and has to be sung like that.
The piece overall is much more lyric than anything else he wrote later on. And I think although he was experimenting with his forthcoming style, this is a very lyric opera, you know, and we don't think of really lyricism when we think of Wagner, you know, first off. I mean, it is lyric and beautiful music, but this piece itself is completely lyric.
I think that Wagner requires a large palette of colors.
And maybe a lighter touch than a lot of us think he might.
And so Wayne and Jenny, I want to bring you in on this too. For you, Wayne, approaching the Dutchman, how do you get there?
I agree with everything that Peter and Maestro said. You have to keep it as lyric as possible. And actually, there are many spots that are written where you have to put some volume out. But you have to always have in your mind to try to sing it as noble and as easy as possible. And it's a very, very difficult opera to pace. You walk a tightrope throughout the entire thing. If you put your voice too forward or too back on certain phrases, you're going to be in real trouble. You have to really take care of each phrase and pace as much as you can and try. And sometimes it's really hard to do, but you got to try to step off the gas just a little bit to get a flow to the sound as opposed to a harshness to it. It's very difficult.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the best advice that I got in preparing for this was just to use my own voice and not to worry about pushing or over darkening or trying to sound Wagnerian.
And it's interesting. It's not really how big your voice is. You can have the biggest voice possible, and if the orchestra decides to put some volume on it, it doesn't matter how big your voice is. You will get drowned out. You have to have connection and the sensitivity to.
Yeah, I remember it was funny you mentioned that. Without mentioning any names, when I was beginning conducting very early in my career, we had a nice rehearsal period of Ballymaskera, and for some reason, at the dress rehearsal, in the first act, no matter what tempo I was taking, the tenor kept changing it. And I'm trying to follow him, and he's speeding up this and that. So at the intermission, I talked to him. I said, we had no problems until now. What can I do? He says, follow me. So second act, whenever he opened his mouth, I had the orchestra play loud. and he was turning red as a beet. So then he comes to me in the next intermission and said, my God, the orchestra sounds so loud. It was much louder than at the Zitz. What should I do? I says, I'll follow you and you'll sing loud. And everything was just fine in the third act.
Yeah.
And we just did the show.
You just did it. Yeah. Peter, for you, because you are a true bass. And with Wagner, are there specific challenges to doing this, say, to other, like, Italian bass roles?
You know, this particular role, Daland, is like I said, of the opera to begin with, it's fairly lyrical, so it doesn't really present too many other challenges. I approach this role like I would any Verdi role that I sing, which means in a healthy way. And lyrically, you know, I'm fairly new to the Wagner rep. I've done some other things. Now, another role I've done in the Wagner repertoire is Hunding, which is quite different. This type of basso is just kind of blocky, you know. You just got to stand and let it pour. There's nothing lyric about his singing. It's very declamatory. And
you're talking about Hunding.
Hunding, yes.
Yeah.
Which is completely antithetical to anything in the Italian rep I do, as well as this role of Daland. So coming from a very Italian at school of singing, and most of my repertoire is in the Italian style, the Verdi or Donizetti, Bellini, that I do mostly, it trained me well for a role like Daland, you know. So although it's not... it's a funny role, too. It's high and low, this role of Daland. But I think Wagner was going for lyric moments with this father figure. You know, he's in the first act, it's a storm scene, and when he meets the Dutchman, there's a lot of conversation. But I do think he added a lot of lyric moments, not only to the music, but to the libretto, which enables me to use a lot of... a lighter approach and a lot of colors like I would do in an Italian opera, absolutely. And as Maestro mentioned earlier, this is the most Italian of his compositions, and it was an easy crossover for me. Yeah. But I am learning about the other roles. I've done also Fasolt, a giant, and it has nothing to do with Italian at all. You know?
He made the switch at that point.
Yeah.
And Jenny, for you, you talked about singing in your voice. Is this the first time you've sung this role?
Yeah, this is my first foray into Wagner. So for me, it's just exciting to kind of be around people who've done it before and try and absorb as much as I can. about the style and the, you know, approach to his music.
And for you, Dave?
It's my first Eric, but it's not my first Wagner. I'm one of the few tenors on this earth, this planet, who has done his early works. I have done pieces which are, as Maestro mentioned, not, they're not supposed to be performed at Bayreuth Festspielhaus. And that's Das Liebesverbot and Die Feen. Which are pieces not done very often, and there's a reason for that, because they're not very good, but and long, and very long, and very demanding for the voices. But actually, one thing I would like to mention about this doing opera in German, the language can sometimes be an obstacle, be a problem. If you have done a lot of Italian opera, and Italian is the singing language by all means, and then you change to a very different language like German is, with a lot of consonants, and you have to do a lot of sounding on the consonants, that can sometimes kill people when they go from one rep to another. And you have to have, and I think that Peter almost said it, that you have to have the Italian approach to sing Wagner, otherwise you will kill yourself.
So you have to find that liquid line in the consonants,
the legato,
where you wouldn't normally
be
able to find that.
Yeah.
Wow,
absolutely.
I hadn't even thought of it that way, but I would think you'd have to, because otherwise it's all those glottal stops and guttural sounds that German has. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That,
wow.
More than the actual volume of voice, I think, is the biggest difference between some singers who are very effective in German and others that are very effective in Italian, but not necessarily in either one. Besides the pronunciation of each word, there's a certain rhythm and a certain style to the language. I remember I heard this marvelous baritone do a German role, and he had wonderful legato, and I recommended him for a similar vocal weight in an Italian opera. And he was fine, but he wasn't as effective. Each word was correctly pronounced, but you strung it together and it didn't sound Italian. I don't know
didn't
why,
make any sense.
But
yeah.
it was a question, I think, of the rhythm of the and the flow within the sentence. But then there are other people someone like Bryn Terfel, for example, is just so marvelous in all different languages. Whatever language you hear him, you think he's a native speaker. He has that.
Well, if you speak Welsh, you're starting off, because nobody else does.
Right.
And that's a tough language. I have a good friend who's a native speaker, and that's a tough
one. It's an ancient one.
It's an ancient language. Yes. Yeah. So and non. You know, non-Latinate in any way, shape, or form, or Germanic for that matter. Yeah. So as you – I know you're in Tech this week and you'll be opening on Friday. How does it feel to be on stage with it? Have you gotten on stage yet?
No.
Tonight's the first night.
Tonight's the first night.
So in rehearsals, it's been feeling good?
I think we're all chomping at the bit to get on the stage. I think we're excited to see what it's like on the stage.
Put it on its legs, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah. And what does it look like? Do you know what the costumes, and is it traditional? Is it a more modern take or
timeless? Isn't it?
It's a timeless look at.
Yeah, I think there's some piece, Nordic touches throughout.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's some references to various time periods, but I don't think there's anything specific.
It almost has a gothy type of feel to it. My particular costume kind of looks like
yours does.
Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. It does.
I like that. I like the idea of Trent Reznor singing the Dutchman.
Yeah,
that,
we do.
That's pretty interesting.
What I enjoy actually about this is it's not an attempt to be realistic in depicting the ship and the other things. It's more in that almost that Wieland Wagner spirit of a somewhat abstract. It's the difference between a realistic painting and an abstract expressionist painting. It's The costumes strike me as maybe early 20th century, mm. or you know, a little, maybe even a little later. Mm. And I like it that it has a kind of muted colors. You don't see a lot of bright colors in the, which is sometimes I have in the women, you know, and more blacks and grays and browns
and blonde wigs. Yeah. Lots of blonde wigs.
But
very Norwegian.
Well, that's Norwegian, right?
And we should say that Jenny is not blonde. I mean, for the radio
not
audience,
a blonde.
not a blonde. No. Well, I want to thank all of you for stopping by. I cannot wait to see the production. So looking forward to it. But before we go out, Wayne, our Dutchman, actually has another side of him musically. I'm sure you all do as well, but you're going to actually do a little folk music for us going on,
right?
Yeah,
I'm going to play a little guitar, and my mom and dad like Harry Chapin, so I thought I would
play something for them. Now, this is not the voice that we'll hear for the Dutchman.
Not the voice for the Dutchman. The folk voice is very much kind of like how I talk normally. Well, people are always surprised that I sing in a bass baritone role because I talk very kind of nasally, and
more of a tenor.
More of a tenor-like,
but I think it's just – I think it's a palate issue. You have this thing in the back of your throat called the soft palate, and I think the lift of that soft palate from a nice deep breath switches this into this area here, and then you start singing in this area here, but then – my regular speaking
like
voice
Peter.
Is up here.
Who has that natural big resonance?
Yeah. He does give me a run for my money, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we get that duet going, and it's just yeah. like...
Oh, I can't wait for
it's
that.
It's like Ollie and Frasier. I'm Ollie. Yeah.
All right, so let's hear a little Harry Chapin to take us out. But you will not hear this on stage. You will be hearing the Flying Dutchman. Thanks to the Florentine Opera, and thank you, everyone, for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Saturday morning, and it's growing light. I look out my window and remember the night.
That's bass baritone Wayne Tigges playing us out with a Harry Chapin song, Saturday Morning. Tigges will sing the title role in the Florentine Opera's production of The Flying Dutchman, which opens at Eline Hall Friday evening. Mezzo-soprano Jenny Bank will sing the role of Mari, tenor David Danholt the role of Eric, and bass Peter Volpe the role of Deland. Maestro Joseph Rossigno conducts the production. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect, including the complete version of Tigges' rendition of Saturday Morning. We move from music to math. Two things that aren't that far apart, actually. Madison math professor and author Jordan Ellenberg joins us next, and he wants us to see the math in everything around us. We'll learn more when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio. Song.